Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Mark De Vos. I'm from Calidos, and it has been an interesting afternoon for us, for me at least. Very interesting tips from Sigrid and a nice imagination overview of Luc. So I've been learning a lot of things. I've also learned from Nick how to pronounce our company name, Calidos. We usually say Calidos, but I think Calidos is better because the original idea, the name comes from a kaleidoscope. But there was a Greek, and I thought that was too complicated name to do. But why the name kaleidoscope? Because a kaleidoscope is a thing. You put a lot of little colors in it, and then you turn, and you see different things. And that links very well to imagination and creating new things, creating from a complex situation something nice and easy to work with. And that's what we like to do. Now, I'm going to tell the story about Phoebus. Phoebus is a project that we have done for our clients. And so that makes me think, just to remind you what Calidos is about. It's a company. We analyze how software can help you work, live, feel better. I mean, you can also say solve your business problems, but basically it's about making your life and your work easier. And then we build, we just not, do not only analyze these things, but we build simple and innovative software solutions, either as tailored projects or we also create products. And we have a focus on touch development and or healthcare applications. So we are mainly in the healthcare market, and we have now some projects in touch. And one of these projects is about Phoebus. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do three things. I'm going to tell you about the history of Phoebus, so you know what was the original idea and demand of our clients when we started off when creating this application. That's the first thing. I'm going to demonstrate some aspects of that application. And then third, I'm going to present some ideas of things, what we learned during that project. Some ideas about touch. Some things Nick will like very much. Other things maybe he won't like. I don't know. But probably he will have a solution in September for that. Now, Phoebus, there was an idea. There was a client came to us and he said, we have nurses and they are working, and we want to make our nurses more productive because they are involved with a lot of administrative tasks. And can you make that happen? Can you make our nurses more productive? Okay. So, and then we started thinking and discussing with the client. Basically, it was about communication, just transporting information in the hospital and bringing the required information or the useful information to the desktop of the nurses. That was the initial idea. Support of workflow and about certain processes in the hospital that went. Avoid waste of work. You can't imagine how much useless work nurses are doing from time to time. They're taking a parameter value and then transcribing it and transcribing it again to put it in the medical file and then in the nursing file and then creating a sketch for it so that the doctor can see how temperature evolves and these kind of things. Just doing what we would say idiot work, because a computer can do that a lot faster and more accurately. And the basic idea was also that those nurses work with pen and paper still. And we had to create something that was as fast, as productive as pen and paper work. And pen and paper work is very fast and very forgiving. So that was the stakes were very high. On the other hand, nurses aren't so familiar with computers, so we had to create something very simple. So we said we want to avoid any training we can. Imagine you have a hospital, 2,000 nurses, and those nurses have to follow training to start using the application 4 hours every year, 2,000 people. Can you imagine? We are importing nurses from Portugal or from Romania because we don't have them here, and then we waste our nurses in doing training in software. So that's something we had to avoid. No, we also do simple deployment, but that's more on the technical aspects. That's not important here. And there's also a paradigm we try to respect when we are building the application. Display what is necessary, but certainly do not display what is not necessary. So you have a strong focus on only what is necessary. The demand was also for a tablet PC. There was a question with the stylus. That was the original demand because the hospital had some of these things. But do you already see nurses working? They have to deal with drugs, with lots of things with the patient, and then they have to take a tablet and a stylus and start writing down. It just in their working context, it wouldn't fit. So we immediately convinced the client to go for a touch development. And at that time, this was about a year ago, it was Windows 7 multi-touch. So we worked together with Microsoft Innovation Center in Mons to do some research how we could do this. And in the idea of how to create the application, it should be a simple application. So we said, we are not going to make two applications, one for the desktop and one for the touch device. Because that would be, of course, cost 1.5 times the cost. But there were other ideas, other reasons not to do so. Because that would involve to duplicate training. And it would also involve that users had to use, to do the same thing, use two different environments, which is against the idea of keeping things simple and enhancing communication between parties. Huh? Okay. And then we met Nick some weeks, months ago, not very long, 6 or 8 weeks ago. It was not very long, about the Slate PC. So we had already an application that was developed for multi-touch devices, for Windows 7 screens, and then we ported it to the Slate PC, and we're now about finishing a version that should head for production. Oh, you don't, we don't have, we may not name dates, deadlines, it's out, we don't. So I can't do that. On the other hand, the application we made was very should be extensible from an architectural point of view. It should be easy to plug in different other kinds of building blocks to add other functionality that is not provided at this time in Phoebus. But that was as an accessibility framework. We use MEF for it. Now, I'm going to give you a short demo. And this is the first time I'm going to do it like this. I've never done this, so it's going to shake a bit, not for you, but at least for me. And there is a reason why there is a hardware button that is very useful. This is to switch applications. If you build an application and it breaks, and you don't have a hardware button, your PC or your Slate is broken. You can't do anything except the final hard reset. So there is at least a button that is useful, a hardware button to switch between applications. Okay. Now, if our application starts off, it looks more or less like this. You have there at the left column the lists of all nurses that have been using this application today. And it's simply you just push, and you can, to connect, swipe, and you just get in your working context. That's important because in the working context of those nurses, there is a PC or a device that is shared between different users. And they come and go to the device, they log on to the device, register a few things, look at a few things, and then go back off to the patient or to another situation. So the log off and the log on has to be very fast because that's a repetitive task that is done a lot. Like this. So just you swipe. I'm giving some ideas about of how the application just works. And then, of course, as this screen size is not enough, you can use pinch zoom, you can hide or show navigation bars and these kinds of things. This is the situation of what patient is in what bed today. And that is the, you see there today, and then just a little swipe brings it up to the situation of yesterday. You can see what the situation was yesterday, and you can go back to today. Huh? Okay, like that. Other things is that, you just navigate through the application like this. The navigation bar is left, and then you have a lot of, this is, for instance, a list of patients. At left, these are the patients. And these are the essential nursing characteristics for the treatment of the patients for that patient. And you just double tap to edit them. You get a screen to edit these characteristics. And here we come to a point where we have a problem. This is text input. And that's really a problem. We can discuss off the record because we think there are solutions to it. Okay. Another screen, for instance, is the what's called the Noel index. The Noel index is just, you have again the same list of patients of your ward here, and you have for a particular part of the day, what's happening? Yeah, okay. This is nice. This still works for me, but okay. I think I can put this off. Huh? Yeah. So, like this. No, it's just me that's doing strange things. It's okay. It's my fault. Now, again, we have that that idea here of the all patients that are available at the wards. And then you see the flow of how the workload per patient is evolving during today. And that is for the past. And just to change this, is you just click a patient, you make it very clear what patient is selected, and then you have the quick actions, for instance, here to change this. This is not a smart screen. I put it here. Huh? Okay, and then you see that the value of workload for that patient at this part of the day changes. And then just with one push, you go to another context, for instance, and you have the overview of all workloads for all wards here. The workloads is calculated as a sum of the workloads of the patients at the ward. Okay. And you have the totals here of that ward for this period of the day. And so the nursing director can see early in the morning what is the supposed or the planned charge or workload for every ward and can reallocate, if necessary, the staffing just to put the nurses where the most workload is to be expected during that day. You can zoom in, and you can zoom out, have more or less detail on the way the workload is presented, these kind of things. You can switch from ward like this, you go to another ward. You see the larger touch areas, so if you just drop down here, you have a larger menu. You see the red triangle that's pointing down. In the upper right corner of that tab above, if you click there with mouse, then it's going to be a small drop-down menu. So the application really is developed both for touch and for using with the WIMP interfaces. And okay, it's a compromise, but we think it's in this context it was a good idea to do so. Now, last thing perhaps I'm going to show this is how, for instance, the parameters. Again, the same patients. You have a number of parameters that are recorded at the wards, like the temperature, the systolic blood pressure, the pulse, heart rates, these kind of things. And you can zoom in to a single patient, just double tap. And then you have the details for that patient. You see over here the patient that is listed, Arazola de Oñate. There again, swipe left and swipe left. You can go to the other patient next to him in the same room, these kind of things. And then to change, for instance, the systolic blood pressure, you just double tap and you get a dialog with a precise context for the temperature here, 36.9. And then, of course, you have a keypad for the normal users, I would say, and we have tried, still we're developing on it, on a mechanism just to go to make this with a swipe movement and to change with a swipe movement temperature. We think that we found out that every time a user has to lift up the finger, it takes a lot of time. So if you press, sometimes it's useful, but it takes a lot of time. If you swipe, if you can do a movement, and with the movement without lifting up your finger from the screen, you have a lot of more input. Just to give you a brief idea of things we have done and where we are with the application now. Okay. Now, I think let's go back here. Is this still there? No. I have to maximize. This is touch enabled, but not touch optimized. I have. Okay, anyway, the story, the FIB is a short demo, some lessons learned. One thing we learned is, everyone knows the KISS principle, huh? Or know the KISS. Keep it stupid simple, Einstein said, but no simpler. That's okay. Well, what we have experienced and learned from this project is that even if you think you have made it very KISS, probably a lot simpler is still possible. And if you go for a touch device, definitely simpler is required. Another thing is that the application is the help. There was an idea that we already apply in a lot of our applications that we build, that we don't like to write manuals. Who likes to write manuals? I don't, anybody. But who likes to read it? That's even worse. So if no one is reading it, a manual for us is just a sign that the application is not well designed, I would say. The application has to be self-explanatory. And I think for touch devices, this is even more the case. Because if you are an information worker at a desktop and you have your application, okay, it's okay if you have a book that is a manual that is next to you, or you can navigate to a browser and find some information about the job you're doing. But if you're working with a device, you're doing your job and you're not working the device. The device is part of your working environment and has to be so self-evident how to use it that you can't afford to get to a manual. Okay? Then the other thing about text input, I think structured data is indeed difficult to make it, but make this problem to an advantage. In the nursing and in healthcare, it's certainly true that we have known applications for 20 years now with a lot of text input, and we now come to the point that that we want to exchange information between hospitals or primary caregivers, this kind of information. We want to do it electronically with e-health, and as soon as you start doing that, you want to send over the wire structured data. So structuring data is, of course, difficult because you have to understand very, very well your application domain and how the application is going to be used. But I definitely think it's worthwhile to go for structuring all the way down. And then there is no problem with touch, but the application and your users will benefit from it as well. We think that it's possible to make the application as powerful on desktop and on a touch device, so we think that's possible. Although I do agree with you, Sigrid, that in the general case, you make two applications, one suited or tailored for the touch device and the other one for the desktop. But I think there are cases where you can make one application that does both. And we have a paradigm, I didn't explain it, how you can arrive at that. Now, about performance, this is a disaster. I mean, Windows 7 is just not responsive enough. We're doing it in WPF. And if you're doing it in WPF on Windows 7, then it's not responsive enough. I'm not saying that you can't avoid that overhead in other ways. But from our experience, if you're developing with WPF, it's a problem. You push a button and you don't see it. I'll give you just an example of it. I still have the application open here. So what we had to do, this is a logon. Now I want to log off. And on some devices, this is just slow, pushing log off. And here is a button, close the application. And this button, close the application, is now disabled for some time. So it takes a while before I can push it. But just because the responsiveness of the application was not enough, we had to build in this delay. Otherwise, the user thought, I've logged out. No, there's no reaction. I'll log out again because the touch wasn't taken by the application. And then I close the application. So this is a practical example of how delays in responsiveness are really a problem. And OK, we worked around. I hope Windows 8 will help. And I hope to meet you in Anaheim in September for that. Now, most current hardware is too slow. That's what we found out. But we came, of course, from the way down from the desktop with a multi-touch monitor on it, and then we ported that to the Slate PC. So we didn't design it specifically, so our initial builds were not tested on Slate PCs. But we found out an enormous performance decrease when you installed the same application on a normal desktop or portable and on a Slate. Now, with that device, it's solved. I think this is just a temporary problem. That problem of Windows 7 needs a solution, and probably that solution is coming. The way how to program for touch is not so easy, we found out. There are a lot of toolboxes available, like the toolkit, the Surface toolkit, and there are APIs specifically for doing manipulations and for gesture recognition and these kind of things. We think, from our experience, that all these tools are okay if you write viewing applications to view media-like application, to view the applications and do these kind of things. If you do user interactions at the moment right now, we've done a lot of things by going back to the raw APIs, just for the performance and doing to get the effects we needed. Okay? And then, of course, there is a problem because there is a lack of simple UI paradigms. They are not standardized. And that is really a problem. And then about commercially available controls, that's still another problem. But the paradigms, what is a gesture, what are good gestures, how to standardize, it's not easy. For instance, you have to double tap to open an item. You have to tap once. In our application, the standard is you tap, it selects. To double tap, it opens. Because there is a lot of selection, so you have to do a way of selection. So tap one is selection. Double tap is open. Before, it was just sliding as navigation as we had in the explorers. Just to go to the next or to the details, just flick. But then there's a problem if you start scrolling. And you start scrolling, and there is an interpretation. You touch it slightly different, and it's maybe interpreted as a flick. And then you switch screens. So all these kind of things you have to think of. I don't think it's possible to think of. You have to do it, and then find out what are the problems, and then learn from it and do it better.